Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about a lot of things, including nostalgia, the Duffer Brothers Won't Stop, and most importantly, our topic this week is, how did we fall in love with Star Wars again?
How do we do it?
Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, I'm my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Just one? Or did you say two?
I said hello, hello.
See?
Hello, hello.
Only one came out.
I'm traveling. All I heard was one.
Hello?
Now there's six. Now there's seven.
Hello?
Now there's eight. Hello? It just keeps adding up.
Hello.
You're writing checks. Well. Your body can't cash. Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. I'm traveling this week, if you didn't notice, guys, just so you know. That's why I sound so...
And ironically, Troy is the one who sounds the worst.
Yeah, you are using the old earbuds, right?
I sound just fine.
You don't sound like
I might
Troy...
not sound fine to Aaron and Amanda, but I will sound just fine in my dulcet tones to the rest of you lovely listeners.
We had some serious technical malfunctions today. Heading into Memorial Day, that's why we're taking a week off next week, so we can get all our, I don't know, electronics calibrated. Is that a thing?
Lovely transition.
Mm-hmm. And to memorialize stuff and people.
Like Star Wars.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but first I want to talk about the Duffer Brothers because they just did a full interview with Happy, Sad, Confused. And they want to clear up some bullshit, according to them. And this is a quote. And I'm just kind of curious because we're big Stranger Things fans, right? This is a quote from the Duffer Brothers. First of all, let me clear up some bullshit out on the internet. There's so much bullshit. Really in love with that word, by the way. We'd be here all day, but that was never designed as like a spinoff. That's bullshit. Again, with the bullshit. That's not true. That's gross. We would not do that. But I think the mistake was that idea of a bottle episode. I think if we had threaded it in a more organically way throughout the season, it would have worked. So it wasn't anybody's fault except ours. I think I just would have approached how we integrated Callie differently. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think, Troy, you said this before.
What are they specifically speaking to? Like, is there...
The bottle episode in season two. The Callie episode.
Oh, the Callie episode specifically.
Yep.
I mean, it just didn't fit the season is the issue.
Well, I don't know if it didn't fit the season. It gave her, like, a journey outside of the other kids. It was just, like, its own thing. And they're trying to clear the air and say it was never meant as a spinoff. Okay, fine. I mean, that was probably more speculation than fact. But... I don't know if it would have made it any different if it would have been threaded throughout the season.
I mean, I don't know if it would have been any different. We always knew that there were more than just, you know, 11 because she was 11. Like, we knew there were others out there. We just didn't know if they were all dead. We didn't know if they scattered to the wind until we met 8. And it's like, okay, here's 8. The fact is that they never went back to 8 ever. That was the problem.
Well, there's a lot of things they didn't go back to.
Yeah. You introduce 8 and then 8 disappears and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, somehow 8's got to be in the finale. That's just weird.
And you know what they should have done is Breaking Bad famously did this. And I think Eric Kripke recently, when he was talking about The Boys final season, they're doing it as well as they basically hired someone to go back and watch the show and like write down any loose threads. So that when we got to before they were prepping the final season, so they could go back and make sure that they covered any bases that they missed. And I think that's what every show should do when they're doing a final season.
Every show should have a Bible author with them the whole time. That way you don't have to spend another resource doing that exact thing.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
you should be aware of what the hell's going on your own damn show.
Damn right. Man, do you have any stake in this? Do you care? Are you over it? Are you like past Stranger Things? You're on to the next thing?
I don't care about this at all, but... You know, good for them for feeling like they now get to clear the air of what their intentions were, I guess.
I suppose. And here's the thing. I like Josh Mankiewicz, who does Happy Sad Confused. He's a good interviewer normally. But all softball questions, man. There were no feet to the fire. There was no. So where are the Demogorgons up on top?
What would you have asked?
Where were the Demogorgons up on top? Why was it so easy for them to get there? And why was it so easy for them to get in? Like, truly. Don't get me wrong. I still enjoy the show. I have no problem enjoying it. And I think the last 45 minutes are magic. I truly do. But if you rewatch it, there's definitely some gaps. I mean,
yeah.
There's no bats. Where the frack are the bats at the end? You know, there's a lot of things I would have asked, and I would have asked it in a nice way, but I would have asked it.
Respectfully, what the fuck were you doing?
Like, respectfully, where the fuck are the bats, dude? Like, they were all over season four. They had a whole plan to drag them away from where they were going, and now they're just not there anymore. Like,
did you not notice that your CGI effects budget went down? What you spent went down because you clearly did not bring all of that work back into that episode.
Or they're just like a million bats in a warehouse somewhere they forgot about. Like they're just piled up and waiting to be released or something. Like, hey guys, you ever come back? Did you forget us after season four?
Oh, do you think that they used real ones? Just as a side question.
Oh my God, man. No. No, they didn't.
They can.
I guess they
Tom could. Cruise hops out of helicopters and hangs on to them, but we're questioning if they'll use real bats.
Yes.
The fact that she has to defend her point with a Tom Cruise reference, that's actually the sad thing.
So I have some very, I'm actually going to talk about this. It's relevant because of the 40th anniversary, and I have something interesting to share.
Look,
it's a question that we talk about later.
That they should have done is they should have said, yeah, we done messed up. We never should have introduced Callie, the 8 concept, and bring her into the finale and spent more time giving us what we actually saw on Broadway, which was the damn backstory of where the meteor came from and how this was all connected in the first place. Because that shit was important. And we got like, oh, he scratched his finger. Some random scientist guy in a cave.
And
I feel like, to your point, it's less about how you would have handled Callie differently. It's just that we didn't care.
Exactly.
I didn't care. I really did not care.
And like, you didn't kill anybody. You could have just, you know, killed her more dramatically.
I agree. initially I agree with you, Troy. She was interesting. She was new, right? We kind of liked her. And then it turned into, I just don't care.
Turned into like, what the fuck happened to her?
That too.
Well, we didn't care.
And then it was like, oh yeah, there was that one.
Yeah. They also said
it's like the missing Cylon in Battlestar Galactica. It was like, oh yeah, there was a fifth one out there.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do a final interview, like, okay, let's wrap this up, then ask some real tough questions that the internet's actually asking, because that's a pretty prominent one out there in the fandom. And I think it's just kind of lazy to not go out there and ask it. You know what I mean?
But it's not wrapped up. There's still that magical extra episode that's coming. So we don't know if it's really over.
The internet is so dumb. So dumb. God, there's another one. It's a surprise. Although I still maintain that would have been genius. Many people theorized there was actually another episode.
Yeah. Would have been brilliant.
Would have been amazing. If they just made that like, it was all a dream. Here's the actual final episode. Mm-hmm. Would have been great. Would have loved it.
Yeah, do it that way. Undo your shit by putting something cooler out. How about that?
They also said they'll tell us if 11 is actually alive in 20 years if we still care. I'll save you the trouble. I won't care in 20 years.
How about you just tell me now?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Not all of us have 20 years, my guy.
I might not. Yeah, getting old.
Some of us don't need to know the answer and can just appreciate the art for what it is.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he's one of those. You hear Amanda? He's one of those. He's one of those guys.
I can feel his paintbrush moving around. He's so artsy.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on to
whether what you see in the end is actually her alive or just in Mike's vision and his brain. Who cares? It's just
they give you the option. I think it's beautiful. That's they fair. Give you the yeah. option.
Yeah.
You choose. Yeah, yeah. Choose your own adventure, if you will. Just like because Dungeons
the only
and
way,
Dragons.
The only way she's alive, if it works, is if 8's involved. That's the problem of why it doesn't work. She needs 8's powers in order to do whatever the hell she does at the end.
It's kind of some truth there. All right. So another week, another dose of nostalgia. And what I mean by that is we've got Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano had a big fight. 17 seconds.
Was that a big fight?
It was a very short one. It felt like, wow, here they are. Oh, there they go.
Felt a little bit like, I've been gone from this sport for 17 years, so I'm going to fall down in 17 seconds. Ooh. So I can have some kind of magical number storyline to make bazillions of dollars.
Are you arguing that Gina Carano threw that fight?
She didn't throw a punch. She didn't throw one punch.
Well, she got all strong again to do nothing.
She went to go throw. This is the same thing as like, what was it? The McGregor, the other Netflix fight where we like waited all night. The stream didn't work and then nothing happened.
Well,
that was also the other big Netflix fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one,
Mike Tyson.
Anyway, what happened there? Gina Carano made $60,000 per second. I think she did pretty well. Wouldn't call it losing.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say she lost. I just said it was a money stunt. That
definitely was a stunt. But anyway, back to the nostalgia. I won't. That's fine.
But if I'm Netflix and I've been like touting this whole thing, you know, it's like, doesn't Netflix have to be pissed? Like we got the stream live for another hour. We just lost viewership.
Hang on. All they care about is that you clicked and subscribe. They don't care how long you watch it. They really don't. You know,
that just determines it.
It's probably marketing driven.
But it's a case that they're trying to make in order to get things like the NFL. So when the NFL comes along, they're going to want to have duration numbers on the NFL. They're not just going to be like, did you subscribe to the NFL?
They've already got the NFL. So I think they're good. Can I go back to my purpose?
What do you want to talk about nostalgia for? There's new shit. New shit.
Anyway, so back to my topic. Another dose of nostalgia. We had Rousey versus Gina Carano. And Ronda Rousey won in 17 seconds, as we just talked about. Netflix won more, and they both won at their salaries. Sam Raimi is directing a remake of Magic, 1978 movie with Anthony Hopkins and a demonic ventriloquist dummy. Like, that's still a thing. I don't even think Jeff Dunham's still working. There's a very young Frankenstein series in the works for FX and Hulu. Yeah, very young. It's
the very is that emphasis on young in the Frankenstein age or young early in the works?
That's the name of it, is Very Young Frankenstein. It's from the creators of What We Do in the Shadows, so it's going to be like that kind of mentality, but it's definitely another play off Young Frankenstein, more nostalgia, and that's for FX and Hulu. And then we've got The Expendables, which is back in play. Which is the female version of Expendables.
But that I actually think is clever. That's funny. That's clever. I like that.
It is. It's weird, but I like that.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm sure Uma Thurman's already gotten tapped. Grown Ups 3.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Grown Ups 3 is a go at Netflix. I'm very excited about that. We just found out that King Conan is happening. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to go back and play Conan 40 years after being king. And what happens next? That was confirmed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's just like, so when does it end?
I don't know, but some of these titles and concepts are hysterical.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, because at the end of the day, it's about the quadrants still. If you can bring in people that are our age and then have us tote along our kids in the process, then the kids are going to be like, oh, I'm locked into Conan again. I'm locked into Grown Ups again. I'm locked into Expendables again. And I can have that nostalgia factor carry on, so I can just keep making more money 20 years from now when I do it all over again. That's really the end of the day.
I do agree. I agree with you, but I am also excited for Grown Ups 3 because we love the Sandman.
We do love the Sandman. Absolutely. I'm excited for Grown Ups 3. That's the only one I'm excited about. Not even the Sam Raimi one? What's that?
Not even the Sam Raimi one?
I want Sam Raimi to do new stuff. Send Help was great. Fair. Go back and do more of this. I don't need you to remake a shitty ventriloquist dummy movie. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure it'll be a good movie. I think it's Sam Raimi. I have no doubt it'll be a good movie. It's more a matter of, I don't care about a ventriloquist dummy. That is such an old fad. It's just so old.
But at the same time, we remade a whole bunch of those movies at that time. So I can't believe we missed this one when we did remake this movie, right?
Okay, well, stop self-plugging. I'm saying, like, does this sound interesting to you at all? Like, a ventriloquist?
I think so.
Tell me why. What about it?
I went to an exhibit. It was a live exhibit, David Byrne, Theater of the Mind, right? David Byrne is the Talking Heads singer.
Yeah.
And and there was a part where we like walked into a kitchen and we're like shrunk down in size. Everything is oversized, you know, and David opens up the cabinet and there's like a little tiny doll version of David. And it was like, I was like, this is kind of creepy. Like little baby David talking to me. And I'm like, okay, I'm a little uneasy. And then he's like, we got to go up to mom's attic. And I'm like, I am not following no ventriloquist baby doll into an attic. And there ain't no way. So yes, there is still a presence of ventriloquist dolls being scary. So that is something that would absolutely play at the theater right now.
If you say so.
Is it created and is it produced, whatever, through A24?
No, I don't think so. No. Not this one. I think it's Sony.
I feel like that would fit their model in some ways, to go with a creepy horror ventriloquist situation.
Only if the ventriloquist doll was a Shetland pony, because they'd have to make it weird.
I know. But it would be their thing. They'd find a way to do it.
It was Neon's year anyway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's supposed to be Neon's
year. Yeah, that's true.
Freaking. You always know that movies is going to be weird. It came from Neon. They have some good ones, too. They do. Some fun TV news. Big Mistakes and Margo's Got Money Troubles. They both got renewed for seasons 2. Running Point got season 3. And The Lincoln Lawyer is going to end with season 5. And also, for fuck's sake, Grey's Anatomy is getting a spinoff. So it's like I can't go a week without mentioning this stupid show that's still on the air. And now they're going to have a spinoff and it's going to be in rural Texas, Manda. So you'll probably see some
Why
sets
would
popping
anyone
up.
Want to be here? I'm not in rural Texas, but like also, why would you want to be there?
I think go ahead, Troy.
Is it a spinoff or is it just a Shondaland show based
nope,
in West spin-off. Texas? That's medical.
Nope. Grey's Anatomy spinoff. Ellen Pompeo is going to be an executive producer. Yep.
There's a question on what constitutes a spinoff. Because I feel like unless you have a character.
When Shonda Rhimes calls it a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy, that's what constitutes. ABC promoted it as a spinoff.
So but like, see, Private Practice was a spinoff because Addie went from Grey's Anatomy to Private Practice. Station 19 was a spinoff because Warren went from Grey's Anatomy to Station 19. So I want to know who's the character that's going to West Texas. Otherwise, it's not a spinoff.
They haven't announced it yet, but they're calling it a spinoff. So I'm sure it's going to be one of the ones that's on there now. I couldn't tell you who they are because I have better things to do with my life. No judgment. Just a little
judgment. Just so that way we actually give our listeners some information that would be valuable to them.
Oh.
It is a spinoff that's built around new doctors, but it's intended to be connected to the world of Grey's Anatomy. Potentially, this is through Deadline, so these are not my words. Possibly Debbie Allen's Catherine Fox, I hear.
Oh, so it's a Fox Foundation hospital. That's the catch.
Potentially. What it is they're trying to put a more dramatic flair on what's already dramatized and have this team in rural West Texas medical center, and it's the last place you can get care for miles and miles and miles. Because again, in rural Texas, when you get out there, all you got is you and the scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great place for Owen and Teddy to show up and just go wild, wild west stuff.
You guys are just speaking Latin to me. I don't know who these people are.
We are. But all I'm going to say to this is, one, I'll be curious to see, to Troy's point, who they spin off with. Because if it's a true spinoff, they're going to connect to old characters in some way. Mm-hmm. Two, this show is going to live until I die.
Yep.
Three.
Can you hurry up and make that happen? Yeah. Tomorrow would be fine.
Easy. Easy.
If reincarnation exists for real, then yes, we're down. But otherwise, I still got some years.
Yeah, stick around, Amanda.
There's miles in this vehicle, okay? Even if we're stopping to get new tires every week.
A lot of flats on that vehicle.
I got a warranty, I think, but it's running low. The third thing that I would say is I do like the idea of them somehow making it more dramatic by making it seem like it's truly life or death. The only place that they can get care is this small medical center or whatever it is. Mm. I'm curious to see how they're one going to also keep that alive.
That's the true thing.
You don't
though.
Have that like, many that's characters a true thing. Around. Yeah.
The rural hospitals are a true thing. And they just lost a lot of funding. So a lot of them had to close because of recent developments.
And it puts those communities in a position where then they don't have access to care. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a different world they may be able to present that I'm curious about.
Well, that's another nostalgia.
So many football stories, though. That's the catch. Oh, it's a football injury week. It's another football injury this week.
She said a different world. There's also a different world reboot coming. I think it's on one of the streamers. Not. I swear to God, Google it. Yep. Oh yep. God. I saw it a couple weeks ago. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. We're coming back to that
end?
One.
When will it end?
I'm just saying. Nostalgia's everywhere.
Never. We're in the sequel phase, Troy. Wait till we get to the trilogy phase.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. No.
A different world. A different planet. Different universe. Something. There's also a Stuart Saves the Universe coming, which actually doesn't look too bad. Stuart fails to save the universe.
Amazing.
That actually looks really good, surprisingly. Yep.
For HBO Whoever Max. Would have thought the B characters and C characters could actually spin off a show and make it actually happen.
That's how you should do one. I mean, look at Frasier. I mean, that was a great spinoff. Like, that's how you should do a spinoff. Take the C, B and C characters and give them something. Speaking of ending shows, Stephen Colbert is off the air now, famously because CBS said late night isn't profitable anymore, but most think it has to do with some politics. We're not wading into those waters. I just kind of want to know, have you watched more late night this year after all the chatter about him and Jimmy Kimmel? Are you actually like invested more into it, or are you pretty much like, yeah, I'm still not watching this?
Oh, it's free on YouTube the next morning. I'm sleeping at 10:30.
Do you watch it there though? But that's, oh, yeah. Fair question. Do you watch them?
I will watch the clips, 100%.
Okay.
I also do clips.
I don't watch the full
interviews. I just watch the stand-up, the stand-up part.
The monologue. It's all the same, though. I mean, the same jokes, like, every night, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's the only way you're getting actual real news. I know that they're, like, writing jokes into it, but at least you're informed.
Okay.
That's actually a good point.
Is it?
Okay. They're making fun and making jokes.
Pretty slanted news that you're getting. It's a pretty no offense. That's where it's getting.
I'm not saying it's not slanted, but at least I know what the F is going on. Okay. I can have a conversation. Like, sure, there was some stuff that was bombed today. Okay, I'm not getting the news coverage on the local channels anymore because it's all regurgitated and shared amongst the media conglomerate that's owned by the state.
Yeah. I just saw an interview with Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show, and he was basically talking about, you'd be shocked how hard we work to make sure everything that we make jokes about is still true. I'm like, it's just sad that some of them work harder at it than some of our mainstream media.
Would you have to watch Al Jazeera and Sky from another country to get news about your own country? You know, the state of the news is bad.
It's not great. Sorry, Amanda, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a goldfish. That was 5 seconds ago.
Be a goldfish.
Goldfish, Ted Lasso.
That's coming out in August. More nostalgia.
I know.
Are we going to miss Stephen Colbert? I'll be honest with you. I've never been a Stephen Colbert fan. I don't think this is necessarily a good deal for him, obviously, but I just don't find him that funny. I think he's very intelligent and looking forward to him writing a Lord of the Rings movie. But won't miss him as a talk show host, I guess. Never really thought much about him.
I think it was more bias because of him coming after Dave.
Mm, right? Sure. I could see that.
So like Dave and Jay.
Busters.
Dave and Jay left, right? So then it was like, okay, Dave and Jay are gone, so who do you switch to? And so I kind of switched more to Fallon than I did to Colbert.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
Because Kimmel's just been the stalwart, and Kimmel's the one that's the funniest out of all of them.
His monologues are the funniest, even if they are repetitive. I mean, I do find him funny.
I think it's not necessarily an issue with what's occurred in the surroundings of late night shows. I think it's just more late night shows aren't as popular as they used to be. And now you can watch the clips, and that's good enough for us, because then we get the small bit or the bite-sized interview or whatever it is that makes us laugh.
Quick hits, right? Because we don't want to waste time watching a whole hour of celebrities giving the same talking points they've given to 14 other interviewers.
That I already read on Variety that morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good point.
Or while I was watching the clips at the same time.
It could be. I usually just watch Jon Stewart and the Daily Show clips because they make me laugh, and there's some actual information in there, believe it or not. And it actually will a lot of times springboard me to go look something up and get the full story, you know.
You still watch Billy though.
Oh, Bill Maher?
Yeah.
I don't consider him a late night show. He has like both sides of parties on, and he's willing to like swing against his own. It's not like a party show. And I feel like the late night shows have just become, you're just one party or the other, and it's mostly one party. So I don't want anything that spoon fed to me. I don't think anybody should. I don't think you should only look at something from one point of view. Like I'll watch CNN, I'll watch Fox News, I'll check them both out. So I think it's important just to have a little bit broader of a spectrum and not live in a silo. But that's me.
Or just be like me and recognize that everything is terrible and on fire, so you just don't check it at all.
That's fine. Everything is fine. Yep. Everything is fine.
Ignorance fixes things.
And then I'll be like at work or at a grocery store, and somebody's talking about how there was a bombing, and I'm like, wait, what? And this, no joke, is actually what has been happening to me, because I've stayed that disconnected. Because I'm like, what's the point?
I don't think you're alone, though. I think a lot of people are just tuning it out completely. And I actually kind of get irritated with late night show hosts for that, because it used to be, like you turn on Johnny Carson, it was a way to get away from the day. You know, now I just can't ever get away from it. I'm sick of hearing about it. Like I want to escape. I just want to escape and not think about the stuff I already think about too much.
Yep.
So
that is the entire reason that entertainment and cinema was created, was to create a distraction from the literal depression that people were experiencing.
Sure. Yeah. Keep the ball moving. You got a 3-card money, that shit. So it's insane, the anniversaries this month. We talked about Twister last week, but here's some of the anniversaries for May, right? And that's not even including Independence Day is coming up on a 30th anniversary. We talked about that a little bit. But so Top Gun, 40th anniversary, May 16th.
Wow.
Top Gun.
Wow. Mm. You're old. You saw that in the theater.
I saw it in a theater, and I enjoyed it. 25th anniversary of Shrek. I bet you saw that in a theater.
Now I'm old.
Yep. Welcome aboard.
What?
That was May 18th.
Yeah, wow. I cannot believe that.
Yeah. It's still, I love.
And the jokes are still relevant.
The writing's great. The voices are phenomenal. And I will tell you, I just think that some of the animation does look like a PlayStation 2. But now it does.
you're not wrong. Donkey does look like he's trekking through like Minecraft or something.
Maybe he's Shrekking through it. No. All right. I tried.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, 30th anniversary on May 22nd of Mission Impossible. So Tom Cruise got two of these.
Wow.
Guy's been around longer than all of us.
He's had a really good May a couple times.
Quite a few. Yeah, quite a few. 20th anniversary, May 19th, of The Da Vinci Code.
That's when people are like, woohoo, Da Vinci Code's old.
Even Tom Hanks doesn't want to talk about it. Yep.
I'm about nostalgically going like, you know, Karate Kid, Goonies, Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we've got the 20th anniversary on May 26th of Cars. I think that one.
Okay. That feels crazy.
Okay, yeah. That's like, what?
Yep.
Yeah.
That one sits with people, I think. And then on May 27th, the 20th anniversary of Pan's Labyrinth, which is a movie I love. So
it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It feels so much older than that.
Does it?
To me, for some reason.
Well, not to us, because
it's grittier.
Sure.
It feels older, and Cars feels newer. And I don't think Da Vinci Code phases me either. So
I'm telling you, Tom Cruise still, even Tim Allen might watch it just so he could remember the career he could have had. But I don't think most people are going to rewatch Da Vinci Code. I just don't. Is that harsh?
No, I think you're right.
Can you imagine going from Toy Story 5 to Shifting Gears? I'm just saying. I don't think that's what he had in his playbook. thanks everybody for supporting the show. If you're a Patreon supporter, you go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And I also want to talk about Fallout Season 2. Fallout Season 2 is now available on 4K Ultra HD and DVD, and it's based on the iconic video game series, of course. And you could bring home the action-packed post-apocalyptic thriller starring one of the greatest actors of all time. I said it, Walton Goggins. Just magical. Magical in everything he does. As well as Ella Purnell and Aaron Moten. In Season 2, our odd trio ventures across the wasteland in search of the ruins of New Vegas. So you can own Fallout Season 2 on 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray now. Woohoo!
What's great about that is that they do their own thing, too. They're doing the thing that video game adaptation should do, because Season 2 was really good because they made it their own instead of just following the script.
Well, that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because video game adaptations do not have historically a great track record. So shout out to Fallout.
It's beloved. People I know that, it's amazing to me how many people I know that were scared of the original show, and then it came out and they just got stoked, because it made its own story, but it still honored everything in the game, which I think more game adaptations need to remember. Last of Us. Know when to change something up, you know? All right, we're going to go do Star Wars last, because we're going to do a love for Star Wars and then go right into the review for Mandalorian. So I want to have a little game. So what you got? So since I do the format typically, I can't say the word, but I do the format pretty typically. You each...
Typically?
Every week.
That feels... Every week. Yeah, yeah. Week. You can take the credit.
Yeah, I do everything. I do everything. Troy helps me out quite a bit, actually, whenever I need him to.
I do nothing then, apparently.
I show up. You said it. Well,
when
you
show
I mean,
up. I used, when you show I used up. To do a lot more. Fuck you. That was really good.
All right. So since I do that, you each get the floor to discuss any specific one specific thing you really want to talk about. Go.
I want to know, what did Amanda prepare for a game?
That's your one thing, because you didn't prepare anything?
That's my one thing, because I was busy today and I was like, I mean, I could talk about 100 different things. I'm just curious what Amanda wants to play first.
Okay.
So it's not even a game, but the game is us bringing a topic, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about these anniversaries, and coincidentally enough, somebody found something on the side of the street. They happened to just come upon it and provided it to me actually recently.
Like garbage?
Which is a string of pearls? It's actually a cute 40th anniversary Top Gun poster. And I couldn't stop laughing because it was given to me. But I do like Top Gun. It's one of the few of Tom Cruise where I'm like, I like him as an actor in here. And he is a great stuntman. So anyway.
There's no stunts in there. I mean, he's just flying a jet.
I said, and he's a good stuntman.
Oh, in addition to that movie. Okay, got it. Okay.
I mean, he blinks a lot when he's doing that whole, like, oh my gosh, like, I can't focus. I'm really perplexed about Goose.
My favorite part is him showing up at her house going, can I take a shower? Like, who fucking does this? It's so weird. Can I get all sweaty in your bathroom real quick before we have, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Just had a volleyball game. Riding my
motorcycle over here.
Sorry, what's your
game? So anyway, this poster got me thinking, because it was poster. A 40th anniversary.
Okay.
Yes, dumpster poster. And it got me thinking about these re-release things that keep coming to theaters, right? So Top Gun had a 40th anniversary. Sure. They brought the showing back to screen, back into the theater. And on top of that, I thought this was interesting. There was like a montage of Tom Cruise in his various roles over the years, up to and including Top Gun, which was very much like a self-hoorah. I mean, good for him, I guess. But these events are definitely tailored towards making money, right? Mm-hmm. It's a business. We can't not think of that. But as a person who's reflecting on nostalgia, right, and you have a movie from your childhood or your youth or whatever that now you can watch in the theaters with other people that haven't seen it, what draws you into that experience and being willing to pay for a ticket for something you've already seen 20, 30, 40 years ago?
Oh, specifically for those kinds of movies, like things that are older, like nostalgia?
Yeah, it's like an anniversary party, basically, a movie theater showing.
Like when I went and saw Back to the Future last year in the theater.
What is the marker where you're willing to pay the extra bucks to go see it?
You go first, Troy.
I don't know if there's a marker per se. There are specific movies, we'll go from 40 years ago, that were just like the pinnacle of movies at the most impressionable time of our lives. So like you tell me Goonies is coming in 4K, I'm there. Karate Kid in 4K, I'm there, right? Hell, I'll even go watch Better Off Dead in the movie theater because it's just so great. Because
I want my $2.
Because I want my $2. Sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. I mean, infinitely quotable movies like that, you have to go see in a movie theater with your friends and just have like all of that nostalgia come back. You get your red vines out. You get your big bucket of popcorn. Have a sleepover afterwards if you want to. I don't care.
But that got like, weird. That got weird real fast.
Yeah, it started with the red vines. Yeah,
no, that's perfect. It's the sleepover part.
Go Twizzlers. This episode not sponsored by Twizzlers.
But it's like that. It's the this was something that was special in the moment at the time it happened. So you want to both capture that again somehow because we have these, you know, fleeting years in front of us, but you also want to share that with either your kids or a friend or person who's never seen it before, and just bring them along for the ride. So yeah, those types of experiences like Top Gun, I didn't need to go see in the theater, but when I heard it was in the D-Box 4D experience, I was kind of like, I'm going to buy a ticket for that.
I still wish I would have saw Maverick in 4DX. That would have been amazing. Mine's a little more, I guess, selfish. It's just to, I want to relive that moment that I remembered when I was a kid. That's a lot of it. Like there aren't many that I would go see that are like 20 years ago. I mean, I think my line probably starts around the 30 years old movies, the stuff that is 30 and 40 when I was a kid, you know, Top Gun, I was a kid when that came out. So I would love to see that in a theater again. And I've seen it actually a couple times over the years, but it brings back a certain feeling. And that's one that like a bunch of friends can connect over. And I love to see just stuff that I grow, anything that I loved as a kid, if I can, and I mean, when I say kid, I mean up to like 25, right? Like, you know, I'm sure they're going to have an Independence Day release. I would love to see that in a theater again.
So go see that in a theater again.
And you know, they're going to have to, cause it's a 30 year anniversary this year. They've got to, and you know, but Cars, I don't care about Cars. It's just something that just made me either was a very specific point of time in my life. Something I've rewatched 100 times, and I just think it's more special to see it in a theater and relive that experience for me than just sitting at home and watching it. I don't care how big the TV is. It's never going to compare to me. So it's just bringing that whole memory back to me. And I'm really, really big on movies that I would watch with my mom because it just takes me back to happy times. That's all.
Especially so does it make... If they up-res them and upgrade the audio a little bit too, I mean, the Back to the Future re-release was, wow, it was phenomenal.
Does it make a difference for you? Some of these anniversary re-releases are, you know, they have free giveaways and then they're going to add something before. Maybe you get a message at the end. Does any of that change it for you?
I don't care. I don't need any of that. Me personally.
I mean, it's cool if it shows up.
Yeah.
It's not gonna
like you'll always take free stuff, but it's not going to get you into the theater.
I mean, if you have Clerks, like I'm not going to run out to a theater to watch Clerks again because it's not a movie I think that you have to see on a big screen. But if you
if they give you a joint at the front,
no,
then you'll go.
No, no, maybe two. No, if you get like a Kevin Smith Q&A at the end, okay.
Oh.
Now I'm in.
Yeah, interesting.
Free digital download of Chewbacca.
Doing what?
Like the song, just the Chewbacca. Chewbacca.
Oh,
from the soundtrack.
Jesus, Chewbacca. I'm like, what the? I know it's a Star Wars love we're going to talk about, but I don't think Chewbacca matters.
So funny.
It's a great song.
That's funny.
I don't know. Sometimes free stuff will get me in the door. Usually it won't, but it depends on the free stuff.
Like what? Like Scream and you get a mask or something?
If there's a t-shirt, I might go. Mm. Like I love free t-shirts. The Scream one was really cool. And I love when they give you kind of collectibles or things almost to memorialize it. Did you see me going back to a previous joke?
Yeah, wink, wink, I see nod, it. Nod. Good job.
But I think those are cool because then you get to like commemorate the actual experience of seeing it again and with whoever you got to see it with. So those, they might entice me a bit more, to be honest. And now I just sound materialistic, but I promise it's for sweet reasons.
You like trinkets. That's what it sounds like.
Stuff. I do like trinkets.
Yeah, that puts you in like 90% of the population. So I think you're in good company.
Yeah, everybody takes the free stuff.
There's literally a show called Hoarders somewhere. So, yeah, people like stuff. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's perfectly okay. Troy, did you have a topic or do you want to move on to what you've been watching?
We just move on.
Okay. We're going to do what you've been watching because Amanda has to cut out before we get into Star Wars. And also, she doesn't care at all about Star Wars.
Not anymore. Honestly, good luck getting me reinvigorated because you lost me a bit.
Okay.
You lost
me. Well, maybe Mandalorian and Grogu. He's such a good boy. Maybe he can do it.
He's such a cute little boy.
So any recent film or TV recommendations, that's apparently something you're very excited about. So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know if I would say I'm excited about it more so than I actually watched stuff that was newer recently, which was exciting.
Okay.
And I feel like I should talk about
it. Let's go.
So, one, funny AF with Kevin Hart.
You talked about it last week.
I did?
Yep.
Did I talk about the roast already also?
No.
The roast was funny, but when I say it's edgy, I mean, don't watch it if you're offended. Even Kevin Hart is getting like beat up by other people for the content in that roast. So
it's a roast. If people don't know what they're watching, then you can't really like. I'm sick of fake outrage.
Well, Michael Che pulled out because he was all upset over some of the jokes in there. And that's why they had.
Is that why he pulled out?
Quote unquote. That's why he pulled out because of some of the jokes that were being made in there. And that's why Regina Hall showed up. She was a fill in for him.
That's why they went easy on her, huh? They didn't have time.
Probably, actually. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Michael Che has no problem making Colin Jost feel horrible every joke off at the end of Saturday Night Live. So.
Seriously? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was just surprised to see, you know, and I'm never going to take away anyone's feelings on that on a very controversial topic, right? But I was surprised because comedians usually are okay with edginess. So that was funny if you can take feelings and perspectives out of it. And then I watched The Crash. Did you guys see this true crime documentary movie on Netflix?
No, I've heard about this, but no, I haven't.
So it ended up being pretty good. I'm very glad it's not like a whole series. Glad it was just a movie. But essentially this true crime, which I tend to be watching almost every week now, a new true crime, is about this girl who was the driver in a car accident. And was it an accident or was it intentional? Oh. And it turns out pretty crazy.
Yeah, they think maybe she intentionally was trying to hurt someone in that car, right? That's what it's about?
Yeah, yep.
Ooh.
So I liked it. It was good. Like I said, glad that they're starting to look at true crime that let's just make a short documentary about it. Not everything needs to be a 3-episode miniseries. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, I haven't gotten to Punisher yet. I'm doing a rewatch of the original Punisher series.
You're missing out.
I can't wait. Is it amazing? Is it everything we hoped for?
Punisher One Last Kill is on Disney Plus, and it's fully visceral and R-rated. It's a very short. It's like 50 minutes. It's pretty short. And You know, I think the first, it's definitely like a, hey, we're reintroducing the character for anybody that is going to go see Spider-Man Brand New Day, and they have no idea who the Punisher is because they didn't watch the Netflix show. That's really what it is. So you do have to deal with his PTSD, which I'm frankly sick of. We've been there, done that. I get it. It's a thing. I think it goes on too long. But once he finds purpose and it's basically a John Wick meets the Raid as he tries to escape an apartment complex and kills everyone in the neighborhood, like the whole neighborhood, finds his path again, gets back in line, gets his cool little Punisher duds, and he's back to kicking ass and taking names. It takes a little bit to get going, even for 45 minutes, it takes a little bit to get going. But once it does, oh man, there's so much blood. It's just, and he's doing headshots and he's doing a lot of,
oh my God.
Yeah. It's great. The only thing I will say, and this is for true comic book fans, and I don't know about recent comics, but I used to read Punisher for a long time. He never had PTSD that I can recall. It was very much about, you know, Frank Castle, his family was killed, and it was a revenge. It was just a revenge story. Like, it wasn't him sitting around talking to dead friends for 20 minutes before he went on a rampage. Like, and the other thing that I wish, I really, really hope that they get to at some point is, and they do it some in the show, but they didn't do it in this at all, because he's mostly reactionary. He's not really, like, going after someone. But in the comics, he's a tactician. He's a military tactician. He can basically organize it so you're in a kill box no matter where you are, and that's his specialty, right? He can organize how to assassinate everyone in a general area very quickly. Like, that's what he does. And I think there's shades of that, of course, in the series, but this particular one-off doesn't really have a lot of it, and I want them to get back to that. That's the one thing I think is sorely missing from the John Bernthal version of Punisher, even though I think he's phenomenal as Punisher. Like, he's the right guy. They nailed it.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, and if you're going to start the series all over, you got a lot of Punisher to get through.
Yes, I am working on it.
Okay. Well, good luck being spoiled. What about you, Troy? Anything you want to talk
obsession.
About?
It's my obsession.
You finally went and saw the movie that I talked about last week. So, yeah.
It's the kind of horror for me. It almost made me scream.
Almost? Why almost?
Almost. Because it's done so well that you just get this like pent up excitement, like, oh my God, they're gonna play off this horror trope, and you're waiting for it, and then it never happens. And then it does.
Yeah.
It's like, and, oh my God, he got me.
Yeah, I really love how they play with the tropes in this one. Because it's like, it's still what you expect to happen happens, it just happens in a different way or at a higher velocity than you expect. One thing I think is funny is it's a movie about a guy who makes a wish that a girl put him in a friend zone, loves him more than anything, and you took your daughter to see it. It's like, are you trying to warn her? Is that what you're trying to do?
Exactly right. The guy is a freaking asshole. Yep. Ruined her life. Like, pay attention, child.
Honest question, he made a wish. Is he an asshole?
Yes, like, he's an asshole.
Okay. All right.
Blurry.
I don't know. Amanda, I'm curious what your reaction will be once you see that one. But Obsession, great horror movie. I'm glad you liked it. What did you give it? If $10 is the full prize of admission.
Oh, solid 9 for sure.
Perfect. Almost.
Yes.
Awesome.
It wasn't. There are some things that were just a little bit weird because it kind of didn't explain it. You're trying to like figure things out and kind of put your own spin to it a little bit. But yeah, for the most part, I was enthralled even after the soda cup incident at the start of the movie.
It's a soda cup incident.
There is a soda. They're sitting in a booth in a diner, and the guy is using his hands to talk, right? And so when it's the camera's on him, the soda is like on his arm. He is going to knock this soda off the table. It is so close. And then it switches to the over-the-shoulder shot of the other guy, and the soda is nowhere near his arm. It's like not even close. And then this soda can, this cup moves every scene to a different spot on the table, and it's so obvious I could not watch it.
It's a continuity problem for you.
Oh my God. I was like, these are the things we were taught in film school, and every time I see a clock on the wall that jumps around in time or a thing like that that moves on the table, it sticks with me because I was guilty of that in my senior project, and I'm like, it's so simple.
Well, I didn't notice that, but I also saw it late at night after a long day of movies, but I still love that movie too. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And apparently some of the scenes in that were actually more gruesome and they had to tone it down.
Yeah, they had
by the
dial
time
it back.
Went to the yeah. So I'm glad it was the appropriate amount of gore. It was good.
I freaking there's a couple scenes I won't tell anyone. I don't want to spoil it for because I want you to enjoy it. Like it's fun, but there's a lot of really just genuine thrills in that one. I can't wait to see it again. I really can't. Hey Amanda, we're gonna let you depart. It sounds like so. Anything you want to say in passing?
Goodbye, goodbye.
Okay.
Have a lovely holiday. Remember those that have served our country and that we did lose. And I think that's about all I got.
May the force be with you.
May the force also be with you.
This is the way, bitches. Jesus. All right. And that brings us to our topic for the week. Now, this will be a shorter topic because we just fluffed the regular episode up a little bit. But it's something I want to talk about because we have The Mandalorian and Grogu coming out. And, you know, this is supposed to be kind of a relaunching of Star Wars. It's the first movie, I think, in 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. So there hasn't been a Star Wars movie in a long time. It's kind of surprising that they went with the Disney Plus show as a feature film debut. Where did Star Wars go wrong for you, if it has? Let's start there.
I don't think it has for me.
You get just as excited for every project that comes out, no matter what it is.
I get excited enough to give each project a solid college try. And the only one that I can say that I truly was like really disappointed in was The Acolyte. Because it had such potential, because it went to an era of Star Wars that we had not explored before, and because they effed it up so bad, we can't go back to that time period ever again, I don't think, because people are going to be like, oh, it's tied to The Acolyte. I don't, that was a dumb show. And so like, I really want to go to some High Republic stuff. I think that would be fun.
You don't see any of your excitement withdrawn. Like you're good. Cause I will say like, I just don't give a shit about any of the TV shows. I just don't.
I mean, Andor is really, really, really good.
Bored silly, man. Bored.
That's
silly.
Because you're supposed to be bored silly because you're supposed to sit with it.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
doing
the
that.
Point.
I gave it like 4 or 5 episodes, like twice. I watched it twice. It's boring. Now, don't get me wrong. Political intrigue. I get it's very Rogue One, and a lot of people love Rogue One. I'm not one of those people.
Because it's all part of it, right? You can literally watch Andor season
doesn't
one.
Doesn't feel
season
like Star
two,
Wars to me.
Rogue One into Episode 4. It's all part of that saga. That all to me works brilliantly, right? And then you tie it into Clone Wars and Rebels. Like those two shows are so good. Like, and I know it's like before the whole like, you know, current times and whatnot, because it was back in the day. But like, I think you probably don't like Ahsoka as much because you weren't a Clone Wars Rebels watcher.
It's fine. I mean, but all the shows have been just, other than Mandalorian, mediocre, in my opinion. I thought Kenobi was, like we've talked about this before, should have been a movie. Ahsoka should have been a movie. Everything that you seem to love, Andor didn't care for. Now, I know that's the most raved about, so obviously I'm in the minority. I understand that. You don't need to write me. You don't need to ping me. I get it. I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. I think it was boring as hell. I also didn't love Rogue One. I don't dislike Rogue One. I just don't think it's as great as other people seem to think it is. That's what opinions are about. Now, I'm not one of those crazy Star Wars fans that goes on the internet and chastises everything. And I also don't think The Last Jedi is terrible. I think there's actually some merit to it. I think there's a lot there that I wish they would have built on with the next movie. And nothing they've done has come close to how terrible Attack of the Clones is. So, I mean, that's one of the most terribly written Star Wars things ever. The romance is is just absolutely abysmal.
Well, you don't want to roll down a grassy hill?
Sand is coarse, man. I don't like it. It gets everywhere. The action's phenomenal. So that kind of saves that movie a little bit, but man, just horribly written. So, you know, Star Wars has a history of kind of lackadaisical writing. I just don't feel like Andor is very Star Wars-y to me. It feels, it's gritty and grounded, and it feels a little bit like Zack Snyder made it, because it's just so dark and dour, but that's also the subject matter. But
it was also the time period.
Sure. Like I said, it was the subject matter. I get it, just not for me. And I don't think we should have to watch all these things to understand all these things. Like, I'm going to review The Mandalorian and Grogu before we're done here. And I just hope, because we're recording this part before I see the movie, and I'll have a review after the fact, but I'm just hoping that I don't have to have grasped all the information that was in the series to enjoy the movie. Because I'll tell you what, didn't watch the third season. Got bored with that too. You know what I mean? So it needs to be a simple bounty hunter mission or something. Like something that's what Star Wars should, like, you could make a trilogy, but it shouldn't connect. It's the same thing I don't want Marvel to do. I don't connect to all the other shows because I just don't care and I'm never going to watch them. I'm just not excited about them. They don't feel like Star Wars to me.
If I remember right, you didn't watch Book of Boba Fett either.
No, I did watch Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
It was absolutely terrible. Yep.
Because the Hutts from Book of Boba Fett are going to be in the movie. So.
Well, I sure hope I don't have to remember what happened with them. Because, right. And don't tell me, because I really want to go into it with the knowledge I do have and make sure that they made a movie that people who've never watched the show, because believe it or not, a lot of people never watch the show. And I know a lot of people never finish the show. You know, they deserve to enjoy it for their money just as much as anybody who watched the show.
Yeah. And I think there's characters and stuff too that we touch on that actually can spin off into some interesting territories. You go back to Solo, was not a good movie at all. But when Emilia Clarke shows up at the end and takes over the syndicate with Darth Maul, that could be an interesting place to go and explore.
I wanted to see that movie. Yeah, that right. was exciting. I still want to see the Lord and Miller version of Solo. I think it would probably have been way better.
I'm trying to think, like, who's the other, Bo-Katan. Like, Bo-Katan now has the Darksaber. Like, let's explore Bo-Katan and maybe a trilogy around Bo-Katan and the Mandalorians themselves, or even just go back to the Battle of Mandalore and, like, sit with that for a while.
So, let's pretend like we're, you know, Kathleen Kennedy left. Now, Dave Filoni is actually running Lucasfilm with Jon Favreau, I think, helping him, who directed Mandalorian and Grogu. Where do they need to go? Like, what do they need? Because I'll tell you what I need. I need less dark, more light. I feel like there's just been too much focus on the dark side of things, if you will, like the gritty, the edgy. And I get that's cool for TV. But if I go to a movie and it's a Star Wars movie, I really, don't get me wrong, you even have darker themes and whatnot, but I want something joyous, something that's fun. I want an adventure. I don't want a serious political intrigue. That's just not a Star Wars movie to me.
That's because you need to be watching Star Trek instead of Star Wars.
No,
Star Trek is the positive one.
I suppose.
Star Wars is not the positive one.
Star Wars is an adventure. It's a space adventure, and it's meant to be, above all things, fun. A lot of what I've seen in the TV versions are not fun.
That's why I think what they need to do is take a page out of the Star Trek side of how they're going to reboot over at Paramount, where they're actually talking about going back for Star Trek to what's called post-indoctrination of the Federation, and they're going to go to year one. Tell a time period that has never been seen before. Clean slate. Yes, you got to make sure it buttons into something in the future, but like, I really think that we've heard the name Darth Plagueis for so long and how awesome this dude was, and he could do all these great things on the dark side. Like, let's go meet Darth Plagueis once and for all. Tell me a story around Darth Plagueis. Like, that would be interesting. Or what Acolyte tried to do was, I think, posit the question of, you know, what is absolute power? The Jedi think that they were actually in the right, but maybe they weren't in the right for taking these kids and going after the witches. Maybe they abused their power. So maybe there's a sense of, like, just because you think you're good doesn't make you good. And there's a whole story there that you could explore as to, are the Jedi actually good people at the end of the day? Maybe the dark side is actually the right side. Who knows? Like, there's a lot of good themes that you could explore in the Star Wars universe. It's just a matter of telling it in a way that would be entertaining enough for 2 hours and 10 minutes. And it doesn't have to be a trilogy either. It could be a standalone movie. That's okay.
Oh, I think that'd be great. Here's what I think we both agree. No more Skywalkers, right? I'll give you the exception of Rey, because if they're going to have Rey training a whole new school of Jedi and it kind of connects to an overarching world, I actually think that sounds really interesting. And they could really build off that. I think there should be a Rey trilogy without any Skywalkers or Solos or Vaders or anything else. Like, none of that family. It's her own adventure, new characters, new adventures, make it fun. And get back to what the original trilogy was, you know? And don't get me wrong, I understand we're in a different era, blah, 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 blah. But on the same token, there's a reason why people keep leaving Star Wars. And it's because, one, too much, right? It's the Marvel problem. They made too many things at once. People got sick of it. And two, it's not special anymore. Like, it just, they haven't done anything that made it feel special. They rely too much on nostalgia and not enough on good writing. And also, I guess I should say, fans can be assholes too. I think Star Wars has probably one of the worst fandoms currently going. Do you agree with that? Or am I
100%?
What is the deal with that? Because it feels, I mean, to be honest, you and I are talking about we like in Star Wars movies. Every time I go on the internet, everybody that's a Star Wars fan seems to like something completely different. And I don't understand, because those movies are not that complicated. They're not that deep. They're not deep, dude. They're really not. It's very simple. So what's the disconnect? Why does everybody want something else?
I think it's just because that they connected with these movies at some way at their time in life, that it's always been about, like, the people that can't fighting for the people that, you know, people fighting for the people that can't, right? Mm-hmm. Rise up against the system, rise up against the machine. And there's just so much of that right now. You know, in a resurgence of fascism and whatnot, that it's like, yeah, they don't want a cookie cutter Hollywood paint job. They want something that actually posits the question, goes deeper, makes people struggle. That's why Andor was successful. It's why the original trilogy was successful. It came out at the height of the Cold War, you know? So we need something today that, like, reminds us of that, that the hope is there, but in order to get the hope to occur, we have to find a way to band together, and whatever that band is. Like, I would even be fine with a Knights of Ren movie. Like, we're already in the era with Ahsoka and the Mandalorian. We're moving towards where the First Order comes into existence. Give me a story how the First Order came into existence. Give me a story about how the Knights of Ren screwed up the relationship between Luke and Ben. Like, those would be great stories to explore. I'd watch those.
I don't want any more Luke and I just... I'm sick of the Skywalker name.
You
don't have to have Luke and
Ben in it. You just give me the enough of the drip, you know, that it's
okay.
Like,
all right, now I'm with you. Now I'm okay.
Remind me, this is why the Knights of Ren exist and what happened. And then, boom, here's the whole new story for the next 2 hours.
Well, I think when you talk about hope, that's why I'm kind of surprised when you said Star Trek is positive and Star Wars is negative. So I'm coming back to that because you just talked about hope. I don't feel like Star Wars is negative. It feels like it's always about a bunch of rebels trying to help the universe prevail, like to get away from the evilness of the Empire. And that's a positive to me. Like, what's negative about that?
Well, it's the fact that the negativity exists. It's like, you have to have the dark side. You have to have the Empire. You have to have the First Order. There's always a greater evil that you have to overcome.
Star Trek's just like, let's just go about dealing our job every day. Like, we're space janitors.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's definitely races that are more violent than other races, but for the most part, the races are just being their own race, doing their own thing, respecting their own cultures. So it's like, there's no real, like, evil like there is in the First Order, the Empire, etc. What I would really love, Evan, honestly, is, like, have Ahsoka, this new season of Ahsoka, when it comes out, like, have that be the end of Ahsoka and introduce Grand Admiral Thrawn as the next big bad guy, if he's even the bad guy. Maybe we explore that whole thing about where we think bad people who really think they're doing a good thing, maybe Thrawn really thinks he's doing a good thing, and we can do a whole Thrawn trilogy. Like, that would be new and interesting.
Okay.
Lots of places you can take the franchise. You just need the people to, like, give it the time of day and sit down and think about what makes a good 2 hour 10, 2 hour 20 movie that doesn't rely on anything else needing to be known that you can't put in the crawl at the front.
I miss the crawl. I do. That's a staple as far as I'm concerned. What do you think about Kathleen Kennedy stepping down and Dave Filoni? I can't remember. I'm sure we've talked about this, but in case we haven't,
Yeah, it's great that Kathleen's gone. She's a great movie producer. She should have stayed producing movies instead of trying to create whatever Lucasfilm turned into. You know, it's like, let the people that respect the properties do the properties, and then just you worry about the business money side kind of thing.
They've canceled more movies than I think they've made in the last 10 years.
I agree.
Which is crazy. But we are getting a new Rey movie that's still coming out. I think it's being written still. We have Starfighter with Ryan Gosling, which I'm sure will be nothing but fun, because Sean Levy, who did Deadpool and Wolverine, he directed many Stranger Things episodes. I mean, I have no doubt that'll be back to Star Wars fun, which is what I want. I want some fun movies. I want to go to a theater and have a reason to just forget everything that's going on in my life, you know, and just rip the cord and have some fun. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, do a Fall Guy, but Star Wars based.
Why not? I'd watch a lot of that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, space stunt performer. Why not?
What was it? The Skeleton Crew?
That one was fun. That was surprisingly a good time. Yep.
It was a great time.
Because it went back to fun.
Nobody was a Jedi.
Just a fake Jedi. The Force, if you will.
The Force, because we said, like, at the the end of episode 8, right? The Force can exist without having to be a Jedi. You don't need the stupid Midichlorian thing or a lightsaber.
Which I wish they would have built more off of. I really do.
And they can. Like, play they off still of can. It. Let's go.
Yep. All right. So we asked listeners, like, what would it take for you to fall in love with Star Wars again? And some good answers, and I just want to mention some of these. So Ty Nelson said, I don't think I've fallen out of love with Star Wars, but in the spirit of the question, new characters, new stories, new concepts, build off what's been done, sure, but rehash nothing. Keep fan service to a bare minimum. No more Empire, no more Skywalkers except Rey. For all the crap The Last Jedi got, to be fair, it deserves some crap. Rian Johnson tried to break the mold and spin things off in a different direction. That's the vibe they should be going for. You agree?
I love The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi for me is going to be a movie where I remembered 10 40-year-old plus people in a row, and I look down the aisle and there is not a dry eye in the house. Luke, the whole Luke thing in that movie was so freaking cool.
I don't think it's as bad as some people, because that's a very love it or hate it kind of movie for whatever reason. I just think
they hate it because of the whole, like, Luke bailed on everybody and Luke would never have done that.
I agree with that part of it. I do.
You don't know what he was dealing with. Luke was always a moody bitch. He was a moody bitch in Return of the Jedi. like he dealt with some demons, and he figured out the best way to deal with his demons was to disappear. You know, it feels to me like it fits the character. You don't have enough backstory to understand what happened, you know, and then the backstory they tried to give you.
Rian Johnson's fault then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure you're not giving them a
pass.
Yeah,
it's a little boring because it's a space chase for an hour and a half, you know.
That's the part that I don't like. It's just like you have so much time. That chase is so long, and you have so many opportunities for something great, like Finn sacrifice. That could have been phenomenal, like as a story point, but instead he gets saved. Like, where did she even come from? Kelly Tran just like just comes out of nowhere. Like, he doesn't see her he has no peripheral vision. What kind of fighter pilot is he?
Right.
So there's some misses there.
And the whole, like, jump to light speed, blow the ship up kind of, and that could happen, blah, 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 science. And I'm like, go back and watch Rogue One, man. It's literally in the database when they're looking for the Death Star plans. Like, they covered their butts. Like, it's fine. The movie's good. It's not great. It's not Empire, but it's not awful.
Do you agree that we should get, I mean, you've talked a lot about you want stuff paid off from clones and Ahsoka and all that. Ty Nelson here, he's saying new. And I'm with Ty on this one. I'm with you all the way, Ty. I want new. I don't want to rehash. I don't want to go to clones. I don't want to have to know any backstory. What do you say to that? Can we have a nice blend? Can we have a blend? A blend would be fine.
I think there's enough stuff that's been talked. Like I said, like Plagueis gets talked about a lot. Like, let's go meet the dude or the female. I don't even know what Plagueis is. Is it a serpent? Like, I don't know what creature or species Plagueis was. Like, let's go there. I'm down. Like, show me how Yoda became part of the council. Go into the lore of the Jedi temples, you know, and the holocrons and some of that stuff. Like, that would be interesting. Like, Who founded the order in the first place? Why do we need an order?
Well, Jennifer Miller also has a good comment in here, and very, very close to my personal vision. Build a new story in the universe. Don't try to give us everything in one movie. The original wasn't starting at the beginning of the story and wasn't meant to answer everything in A New Hope. They did tell a complete story, though, and I think that's important. Like, you can build a trilogy, but you tell a complete story. That way, if it doesn't move on, you still have an ending, so people don't feel screwed. And she says, so tell a story, but build it out and give it something to build on. Don't release follow-ups too often. No streaming series, just theatrical releases. Make it a cinematic experience again. I'm all for that. We're probably in the minority, Jen, but yeah.
And here's why. The new Planet of the Apes movie that's going to be coming out, even though supposedly has nothing to do with Kingdom, which I think is a dumb move, because Kingdom was actually really good, considering that it wasn't part of the original three trilogy, but because it's something that's been on the shelf for a year or two, like, I'm at the point where I'm like, 2027, I'm jonesing for an ape movie, you know? Like, make it be gone long enough that I miss it, but not too long that I forget about it.
Fair enough.
Like Rings of Power, gone too long. I've forgotten about it.
Well, from what I saw, there's not much you need to worry about. Nate Bruce, no more needing to see five different shows to understand the story. I think that's fair.
Agree.
From any universe. Chris Frid, I have not left the fandom. However, they need to continue on the TV side building out the Ahsoka universe, so he's on your side. And the film side, build on the Starfighter story from next year's film. We need to leave the past behind unless they are committed to recasting all the beloved characters. That's what I want to focus on. Unless they are committed to recasting all the beloved characters. I think that would not work.
You want to give me a new person playing Luke and Han? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
No.
Because no. I think what the problem, Chris, and I get where he's coming from, like to give it a full reboot, but you've already got the younger versions of them and the older versions of them that exist in the world. I think it would be a mistake to try to find a different version of them, you know?
And they did try to find a different version of them in The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it actually wasn't too bad. The Luke wasn't too bad.
It wasn't awful. It wasn't awful, but it was enough Uncanny Valley that I don't need to see it again.
Yeah, I don't need to go back there.
Or Leia at the end of Rogue One.
Duh, terrible. That one was terrible. Terrible. Okay. Well, that's it from our listeners. Any final thoughts on your love for Star Wars? Is it there?
Yeah.
You think it's going to recapture?
Go back to the characters that were in The Acolyte and give me more Carrie-Anne Moss as a Jedi, because that was awesome.
Man, was she there for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I really want to see her life before that, up until that moment.
Agree. Yeah,
that would be interesting. See, plenty of characters. Star Wars has plenty of characters. And like I said, just make it fun. Okay, well, Troy, anything you want to say in closing? Because I'm going to bail it, and then I'm going to jump into this review.
Yes, I hope people enjoyed the movie and it meets expectations. And if not, it'll be a long time before we see Star Wars again, I think.
Well, we're getting Starfighter no matter what. And they're not going to skip on a Ryan Gosling movie. So we'll get that next summer. And now we have arrived to The Mandalorian and Grogu. That's the new Star Wars movie. First one in 7 years, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Man, we haven't had a movie in a long time. And why they chose to kick off the feature franchises again with basically a Disney Plus show expanded to a movie, I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I don't care. I had a great time. I had a great time. And I want to tell you, I think some things are important. Yes, I know some critics really did not like this movie. I've read reviews after I saw it and after I finished my review. And it broke my mind. Because I don't understand what the problem is in this one, right? And I will tell you this first of all: if you never watched the show, if you didn't watch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, had 3 seasons, and a lot of people basically were frustrated, or fans were frustrated that wait, we're getting a movie instead of season 4. What? I'd rather see this on a silver screen. I'd rather see it. I've talked about it just a little bit ago with Troy. I much prefer Star Wars in a theater. I just don't really care about the TV shows, and I didn't finish season 3. I really didn't, just because there's so much other stuff I want to watch, and I'm not lost at all. you won't be lost at all. It's a really simple story. I think this is actually a very smart way for Star Wars to kind of just re-energize their base. The budget's, I mean, it's a lot of money. It's like $170 million budget, but it's nothing like the other Star Wars movies. It's not this big, expansive world building. The world's built. It's basically taking place, you know, after the Empire falls, after Return of the Jedi, and Mando or the Mandalorian is off hunting down de facto villains from the Empire, people that are still trying to rebuild the Empire, essentially, or are working secretly to try to rebuild the Empire, which I guess will eventually be First Order. I don't know. I'm a little fuzzy on that timeline, but so he's off with his little apprentice Grogu. And if you don't know what Grogu is, he's basically like Baby Yoda, right? That's what they called him for the longest time, was Baby Yoda. Then we found out he had a name, and he's off on a mission to find this one particular villain, if you will. And to do that, he has to basically work with the Hutts, which he does not want to do because they're just villainous. And they have to bring in Rada the Hutt, which is the son of Jabba the Hutt, but he wants nothing to do with Jabba. He's got this whole inner turmoil about being Jabba the Hutt's son, and he wants to be seen as a positive influence, not a negative influence. You know, I'm not my father, that kind of thinking. And he's voiced by Jeremy Allen White. There's a lot of good voices in here. Martin Scorsese does a voice in here. You've got a little Anthony Daniels, wink, wink, nod, nod, if you listen. You know, there's a lot going on. I will tell you, this is very heavy CGI. There's a lot of CGI characters. I really do miss a lot of the practical effects for the characters. But overall, I had a very, very fun time. Pedro Pascal is the voice of the Mandalorian. You do get to see his face. If you watch the show, you know that there is a coda that he can never take his helmet off. Yet, just like Halo, the Halo show, he finds often times where he can get his helmet off. It's just wild how this is a this is their mantra, and he just, you know, breaks it all the time, and they find a way to do it. But you got Pedro Pascal in a movie. You want to see Pedro Pascal. That's just the deal. So here's what it isn't. It isn't an expansive world-building kind of Star Wars movie. It's not like opening the doors to the next iteration, whatever that should be, which I think is Starfighter's next. It has nothing to do with that. It's, if you watch the show, it's the Mandalorian. It's this basically a bounty hunter mission that goes kind of wrong. And then how he and Grogu kind of work together as a team, father and son, you could say, because they are very much like that in many respects. And you know, just how they solve problems, how they work together. There's a lot of action. It's an adventure flick. It's not meant to be deep. It's not meant to be meaningful. There are tons of cuteness, though, because Grogu's adorable. And there's even a small section of the film, probably a good 20 minutes, half hour, where it's just Grogu doing his business. And I tell you, audience loved it. They absolutely loved it. So maybe some people will find it annoying because he's just so cute, he's just so cuddly, and there's a lot of other cute and cuddly little creatures that are his size, and there's even like a cute little spaceship that they take, and it's a family flick, man. It's nice to have something safe for the family to go see where you don't have to worry about what the kids are watching. Yeah, there's some violence, but it's all cartoony, and it's all CGI for the most part, and Jon Favreau just knows the audience. He's the director of this. He knows the audience. Dave Filoni, who is now basically the creator of this universe, you know, he's taking over for Kathleen Kennedy. He does a cameo too, and he helped Jon Favreau write this. I will say, I mean, in terms of story, the story is very thin. It's not a heavy story. I will also tell you, I don't think the Star Wars movies had a very thick story. I just don't think they're that deep. I don't know what Star Wars fans want. I talked about that earlier. I don't know what you fucking want. I just don't know. But this delivered for me. Now, is it my favorite Star Wars movie? No, it doesn't even come close to that. But what it is it's straightforward, to the point, great effects, great adventure, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. It keeps humor ingrained in this quite deeply. It has a straightforward story. It's easy to follow. You don't need to watch anything to catch up. I mean, it just hits the ground running. And, you know, I Will somebody who's never seen the show maybe be a little bit lost? Maybe. I mean, they'll probably think they're watching Boba Fett and his little friend, I guess. But most people, I think, have at least heard of Mando and the Mandalorian. And I think it's probably going to directly connect to those people. So personally, I really had a very good time. I was very impressed with how they made this feel like a movie, but also like the show. Like, I don't feel like I missed any beats or anything. You won't see any of the characters, or at least not many characters from the show in this. This is its own thing. It really does exist on its own. You don't really have to know anything about the show. You just have to know what a Mandalorian is. And, you know, this is the way. Just know that that's a big phrase in their life. That's the big part. They can't take their helmet off. And they got bitchin' armor. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I can't even spoil it if I wanted to. Like, this is a really basic story. And I'm sure that's what most critics are probably complaining about. I don't have that complaint because sometimes I just want something where I can just smile and have fun with the family or friends. And this is that kind of movie. It's Star Wars, man. It feels like Star Wars again. And I love that. I love that. And I'm even more excited for Starfighter when that comes out. I can't wait for that. In fact, there's a little piece of The Mandalorian and Grogu where you get a little taste of what Rogue Squadron could have been, which was that Patty Jenkins movie that was going to happen in the Star Wars universe and got squashed. I wish it wouldn't have. It would have been thrilling. I'm hoping Starfighter kind of hits on that a little bit. And you got Ryan Gosling in that one, so you know it's going to be entertaining. But Sigourney Weaver is also in this. She's basically playing, you know, the resistance leader who's assigning Mando his tasks and whatnot. But they have a nice little relationship. But it's really just, it is literally the Mandalorian and Grogu. It's what they go through. My only one complaint, I will say, is there's too much CGI. I think it's way too CGI character heavy. Not just special effects, but character heavy. I'm a big fan of practical effects, and I miss the olden days where they had to figure out how to make it work with practical effects and costumes and prosthetics and whatnot. All of this, where you are unfortunately sucked into CGI characters and you're having major CGI brawls, that part starts to look like a video game. I mean, it's still entertaining, but it does drop it for me quite a bit. This is a pain point for me. Like, when I watch a movie, if the CGI is distracting or I feel like it takes away where I know practical would have been better, it bones me out. Point of fact, like, Grogu is actually a puppet for most of the movie, like an actual puppet, like an animatronic puppet. And even though I know that, and even though I know it looks silly at times, it still works for me so much more than any of the CGI ever does. Because it's real, it's tangible, it's actually there, and I know it's there. It's that you can't uncanny valley me on that one. And I just, you know, I wish there were more of that than CGI. But I realize that this is the world we live in, and you have to adjust your eyes. That's just the way it goes. And I can't finish this without talking about the score. It is a very eclectic score, and I will say that I found it very, very interesting how they, you know, obviously they use a lot of the themes from the show, which I love the Mandalorian theme. I think it's great. But they also have kind of like this almost 80s vibe of a score going throughout the movie as they go to different set pieces in different areas. There's even one city that I think it's on a moon that looks like Blade Runner to some degree. And it has very much like a synth score, almost like a Stranger Things-ish score. And I really enjoyed that. Like, at first it was a little distracting. It really didn't feel like Star Wars. It didn't feel as John Williams-y. But then I kind of really started to dig it. I'm like, all right, they're making their own thing. Like, this is its own element. And I really, really did appreciate that too. And it's definitely worth noting. So I had an enjoyable time. I don't think this reinvents Star Wars. I don't think it reinstates my love for Star Wars, because this is a property that I already kind of liked. I really want to see what they do with Starfighter and whatever comes next. That's really where it's going to be applied to the topic we had before this review, right? How do I get my love for Star Wars back? That's where I want to see a lot of things that aren't tied to the world we already know. Like, just give me something new, give me something fresh, you know, that sort of thing. But I already knew The Mandalorian. I liked The Mandalorian. I really enjoyed this movie. I had a very good time outside of some CGI stuff. And just Grogu's adorable.
never stops being adorable. They're going to sell so many damn toys this summer and holiday season. It's going to be ridiculous. If $10 is the full price for admission, I give The Mandalorian and Grogu $7. It would be a little bit higher if it wasn't for the CGI. But this is a good Memorial Day slash holiday slash summer slash family affair. I hope it gets a lot of replay value and makes people excited to go to a Star Wars movie again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. And remember, the next time you head to a theater, probably to see The Mandalorian and Grogu, buy popcorn.